This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden. We're going to take you now to an historic place in the Bluegrass region of Kentucky, to the hilltops and creek bottoms around Lexington. After the Civil War, freedmen, once enslaved, settled nearby to work. Six and seven generations on, their descendants are still here. Documentary photographer Sarah Hoskins, 48, has for a decade been photographing these people in this still beautiful, still rural area of meandering creeks and steeple-graced rises. Communities like Frogtown, Maddoxtown, and Clapperbottom used to be called the Negro Hamlets. We'll start in Zion Hill at Miss Myrtle B's, famous for her Southern staples.
Take a picture of these rolls that I know are all coming right to me.
Then I did green beans.
For who?
And did I get corn pudding? I made corn pudding because that's
By the time Sarah Hoskins, cameras on each shoulder, comes in clicking away to Miss Myrtle B's kitchen, she's been on the road for 7 hours from her home in northern Illinois. Usually, her husband and teenage daughter are with her. This trip, it's just me. And Miss Myrtle B. Hughes is ready for us with a story of how she came to make her living cooking. Myrtle B. is 80.
When I was 7 years old, I made my first corn pudding. My first rolls, I think I was about 10. And my father said that they were too sweet. And he said, don't make them no more. I said, oh, yes, I'm going to make them again. And I said, the reason I'm going to make them over, Daddy, is because they may be my living one of these days. Well, that's what I done. I made rolls. My children, I send them to school on some of my rolls.
Sarah photographs the kitchen, the golden, hand-rolled platters of rolls, and Myrtle B., of course. In her decade of work, all on black-and-white film, she's captured homely rituals, which are iconic in these small communities. In one set of photos, men who've just scalded a pig for ham emerge out of the steam like a ghostly platoon. In others, a sister circle raises joined hands and prays. There are portraits, group shots, thousands of images. Sarah Hoskins says her reward has been in the doing.
They gave me everything. I mean, I got to photograph hogs being killed. I got to learn about tobacco. I got to hear stories that people never will get to hear. I've been invited into people's churches and their kitchens, their family reunions.
Sarah calls these places and her documentary work the home place. Myrtle's son, Isaac Hughes, is called Ike. He's 49. Ike came back here after living out of state, back to the home place of Zion Hill.
Growing up on the hill, I always said, as soon as I get out of school, I'm gone.
But just over a decade ago, Ike, a single father, returned to this almost bucolic bend of the Elkhorn River. Now he appreciates the uniqueness and history of the hamlets. He organizes Zion Hill Day reunions every summer when hundreds reunite and come home.
And I never would have thought that I'd be the one to grow up here on Zion Hill again with my kids.
So you didn't think you'd ever come back here?
No, I had no intention.
But then you were a dad with small kids alone, and you thought, I better go home.
Yeah, I mean, this is an ideal place to raise children. And even now my kids feel the same way I felt when I was a kid. They say the same thing. When I get out of school, I'm leaving here, I ain't coming back. I said, watch what you say, because I heard that somewhere before.
How would you characterize this place today? How would you describe it to someone from the outside? What is Zion Hill to you?
Home. This whole community was built with tears. That's how I remember it.
Miss Margaret Raglan Collins is 82. Zion Hill was founded by a group of former slaves before 1872. A couple of years ago, the residents dedicated a Kentucky historical marker there, and Sarah made a picture of Myrtle B. and her friend Miss Margaret weeping at the event.
I've lived away from home, not that far, but I'm right back where I started from. Where I live is my grandfather's. It's not the same house, it's a property. And I felt like that I would keep this place just in case somebody wanted to come home. They will always have a home.
Sarah Hoskins, who first heard about these places while she was photographing racetracks up north, has tracked down communities abandoned or nearly so, like Clapperbottom and Sugar Hill. She carries a frayed, faded map. You won't find the names of most of these places on Google Earth. When she holds up her film camera, I feel like I'm watching someone operate an antique stereopticon. The 19th century isn't far away here. Walter Beatty of Frogtown is 82 and a favorite subject, starting with his nickname, Walker Boy.
I got it right after I was, when I was a baby. I don't know who gave it to me. All of us got nicknames.
Yeah, I know.
All 17 of us.
So you are one of 17 children.
17 children.
What are the nicknames of some of your relatives?
Big Devil is Willard. And Alice was Up. And Joe was Hooker. And my oldest sister was Slim. And my oldest brother was Poodle. His name was Clifford. But her name
Walker
was
Boy says there's another way he and others feel tied to this area, baptisms. They were baptized in the rivers, creeks, and ponds. And his winter baptism was particularly memorable.
It was real cold. They had to break the ice in the creek. That's right down by that bridge. Full church, and then had a break when we went down to be baptized. It was 11 of us. 15 above zero didn't stop baptism. And the preacher would stay out in the water with that rubber suit on. But we didn't have nothing on. We just was out. And when I got back up to my sister's house, she lived up by the church. Well, I got out my white pants, and they stand up just like somebody said it froze, just like somebody was still in them.
Couldn't they have waited till summertime?
I don't know why they did, but they baptized every year in the winter.
Some of the strongest rituals revolve around faith. Take the gospel group, the Jimtown Male Chorus, started back in the 1950s. Many of its members have moved to Lexington, but they come 20 miles back to Jimtown Baptist Church to rehearse every Wednesday night. 71-year-old Joe Edwards, a member for 50 years, leads the group in prayer in the parking lot.
We come, Heavenly Father, on behalf of the Jimtown Male Chorus, and we come for those Heavenly Father who have come to interview and to record the history of the Jimtown Male Chorus.
I want to be ready.
Of the five men rehearsing on this night, including a 16-year-old nephew, everyone takes a turn at the lead vocal. Sarah makes her images, catching a look of joy spreading across 59-year-old Bert Edwards' face. The next morning, we find Bert Edwards, who was singing the night before, now grooming a thoroughbred. There's another kind of sacred faith here in bluegrass country, and that's in the horses. The big historic racetrack near Lexington is called Keeneland. During the season, Bert, his brothers, and just about everyone works there.
Who are we working on here today? Who is this guy?
This is New País. That's a Spanish name for new country. They think he's going to have a great future here as a racehorse. He's really nice.
They're off and running. Man of War takes the lead over Sir Barton. As they come around the first turn, it's Man of War leading Sir Barton by a length.
One of the most famous thoroughbreds ever to come out of bluegrass country was the legendary racehorse Man of War.
I guess I'm about, well, the only one alive now that's ever been on Man of War's back.
Millward Gordon, 82, sat on Man of War's back. His father-in-law was for decades the horse's groom. And when Man of War was at stud at the faraway farms, siring legions of thoroughbreds, Millward made his lunch money by giving directions to where the horse could be found.
I went to Man of War's funeral when they had his funeral.
They had a funeral for him, huh?
Oh yes, they had a funeral. He was in a casket.
The horse.
And
the
he horse. Was embalmed. It took the same amount of bottles of embalming fluid to embalm him as races that he won. It took 21 bottles, and people from all over the world came to that funeral. It was about 10,000 people. It was broadcast on radio.
While we have lost Man of War, we have not lost his bloodlines, and for the sake of Lexington's fame as the center of the world's leading horse breeding region, may this blood be kept alive by thoroughbred breeders.
Now, let me get this door. Ladies, come right in.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Oh, it's so
Sarah Hoskins doesn't shy away from asking people if they want to talk about it. Who were your forebears? Did they work at the big farms? Which ones? Were they enslaved? 92-year-old Miss Stella Thomas of Little Georgetown remembers her great-grandfather.
He was a short man, didn't talk much, had pretty hair hanging down. But I was afraid of him.
Why were you afraid of him?
He just looked different. I didn't talk much, and I was afraid of him.
Her great-grandfather was mixed race, son of a white owner and a black slave woman. Bill Thomas, 71, heard a lot about this man, his great-great-grandfather, growing up.
And my mother would often tell me that they kept a little bed down at the foot of the main bed, and the little slave girl would stay in that bed, and she would attend to the master and his wife in the evenings. They would fan them and bring them water and everything else. And many times that master had children by that little slave girl, and that's how we come and made us all colors in the rainbow.
Sarah Hoskins has been asked if a white woman should be taking the kinds of pictures she does. One of the first people who introduced Sarah to the community was John Travis, the pastor at First Baptist Church, Maddoxtown. He revels in the history here as much as she does, and he defended Sarah when the race question came up at a recent lecture she gave at the University of Kentucky.
Sarah is not considered an outsider. Sarah's family. Generally, when people come into areas like Maddoxtown, Jimtown, they come in to take something out, and that's it. They come to get something, and they leave. Well, how long have you been here? She's been here almost as long as I have, because the difference was she didn't come to get. She's done a great job at reviving the history, because the Negro hamlets have been put on the back burner. Have for years was not important. And so when Sarah shows up and she starts digging in, starts taking photographs and starts finding out information, people got a little pride again. It's like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with our area.
None of this work could be done if it wasn't for the relationships mm-hmm. with the people in and of the communities. None of the work could have been made without them. And it's always interesting to me because I have never, ever had a problem because I'm white, photographing in the black communities, with the people in the communities. But it's the outside world that has all these issues and always asks the question, well, you know, you're white. I'm like, I know that. and everybody on the outside wants to make a big deal about it.
Lately, she's begun to think hard about wrapping it all up, wrenching as it will be to let it go. It's heartbreaking to her when the older people pass away. When she does stop, she'll leave behind an archive of many thousands of pictures, some of which have already been acquired by the Smithsonian. The home places are back on the map. One man told her, "You know, Sarah, we ought to have been taking pictures all along."
How many times have we done this over the years? Are you sick of me yet?
In Uttingerstown, her last stop is at the newly restored community hall, the UBS Lodge 28. It stands for Union Benevolence Society. Sarah gathers its members on the porch for a picture.
Where's the food? Come on, I know you love me. That's the response I get?
That's it?
Oh, Lord. All right, right here. 1, 2, 3.
As one woman told her, Sarah Hoskins, you're the slap happiest picture-taken lady I know. For more on Sarah Hoskins' collection, The Home Place, go to our website, npr.org. Photographs from The Home Place remain up at the University of Kentucky Art Museum in Lexington through May 2nd. You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.